Father, Lord, you already know what I'm going to ask. Because, Lord, you sent me here not for them to hear my voice. They only hear my voice, Lord. They won't be helped, and I know that. Lord, if they hear the voice of their shepherd, then they will be helped. Father, I'm asking you right now for the anointing of the teacher to come forward big in me. Make my tongue as the pen of a ready writer, that I can speak forth the mind of Christ with simplicity, that we may understand it. Father, I ask you that you anoint the ears of these people with ear salve, that they may hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And Father, above all things, we pray that you have your way here, not only tonight, but in every service, not only in this building, but in this city, not only in this city, but in this county, not only in this county, but in all southern Florida. In Jesus' name we pray, Father, thy will be done. That's why we've gathered here for it, Father. We've not come with our agenda, we've come to learn yours. And Father, we give you praise for it in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And all the people said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, as Bronk mentioned, I'm a product of Pastor Dave Roberson. If you ever in your life get an opportunity to hear Pastor Dave yourself, don't miss it. Don't miss it. Pastor Dave is the deadest man I know. You know what I mean by that? He is the deadest man I know. He's learned, the Spirit has taught him how to turn himself over to the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to put it like this, so the Holy Ghost can fix what was wrong with Dave. And what needs fixing with us is we need killing. Well, we do. I tell everybody now, anything that you like about me, that's the part that's dead. You know? And the parts that you don't like, stick around and watch. Jesus is still working on that part. You know, the Holy Ghost will put that part to death so the life of Christ can come forward in me. Now, Pastor Dave, until I met up with him, I had been baptized in the Holy Ghost for many years. I got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost in 1980. And I could pray with all the charismatics I knew. You know, I could speak with tongues. But I was like most of the charismatics I know. You know, we'd speak in tongues for about 10 minutes and prophesy for 2 hours, you know. And it wasn't until I met Pastor Dave, I'd never heard anybody say that there is benefit or reason to spend long extended hours praying in other tongues. I had just never even heard of such a thing. So at that time in my life, I was driving trucks, which is a real good job if you want to learn how to pray. And I was on the road all the time, but Sue would get the tapes for me. And when I'd come in off my run, I'd grab a handful of those tapes of Pastor Dave's, and I'd take them with me and listen. And just to be honest with you, I had been so burned in the past by preachers, I know none of you know what I'm talking about, that I had to kind of come up with this motto. I mean, I don't care who preaches it. It's not scripture till I find it. Yeah, I'm going to be like those men of Berea who were more honorable than their brethren. And they were going to search the scriptures diligently to find out if these things were so. So I'd listen to those tapes all right in the truck. And every time that I'd have a break, get a motel room to get my sleep break, or I was delivering new trucks, so once I delivered them, they always fly me back to get some more. I didn't have anything to drive back. I delivered the trucks. And so there was a lot of layovers in airports, those of you that fly a lot. So I'd have my chance then to go and check out everything Dave said. And boy, I did. And I don't mean I just looked up the verse. I'd back up, find out where the subject started. I'd go ahead and find out where the subject changed again. I want to make sure that he wasn't lifting things out of context. See, then Dave really taught me how to do that. Because the first rule of meditation of the scripture. See, and I'm going to skip over a lot of things because I know Bronk is already teaching you all these things. But the way it impacted me was this. See, if you lift the first rule of meditation, you never, ever, for any reason, ever lift a verse out of its setting. If you do that, you can make the Bible say anything. That's how I got burned by all those preachers. And my favorite example is this one. Now, here's two verses. They're both in the Bible. One of them is this. Judas went out and hung himself. The other one is, go thou and do likewise. Now, if you just pick an isolated verse here and an isolated verse there, and you can make the Bible say anything. And that's why we have all these different denominations and all these different churches around town, or any town. And I'm just here to tell you plain. If you ever learn, see, Bronk's job and my job, or any minister of the New Testament, see, we're ministers of the Spirit, not ministers of the letter. Really, Bronk's job is not so much to teach you. My job is not so much to teach you. Our real job is to teach you how to turn yourself over to the teacher. And the teacher is the Holy Spirit. You check your Bible, you'll never find where Jesus said, "And I will send Gary Carpenter unto you, and he shall guide you into all truth." That's not in there, is it? No. What did he say? He says, "I'm going to send the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Ghost." And he, that's a personal pronoun, he himself, he will guide you into all truth. Now, here's a revelation. The Holy Ghost doesn't teach the Bible 50 different ways. He doesn't teach it 50. Hello? He doesn't teach it 50 different ways. He teaches it one way. But what he does do is this. He personalizes it for you.
Yes.
See? Now, I had heard good teaching on faith. This is take faith. How many of you know without faith it's impossible to please God? Well, listen, when I got born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost, and I found that out, I wanted faith, you know? So I probably did like you did. I got the Hagin tapes and the Copeland tapes and the Jerry Seville tapes and the Fred Price tapes. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Let me see some hands here, okay? And I would listen, and these men were doing a wonderful job, and I knew it was working for them, but you know, it was the funniest thing. When I'd try and step out on faith, it wouldn't work for me, you know? And I couldn't figure out what was wrong until I met Pastor Dave. Because Pastor Dave says, listen, it's really hard to live your life on another man's faith. You gotta know God yourself. You gotta understand these things yourself. And that's when he told me, he says, now the Holy Spirit, he will become your personal, individual trainer. If you will turn yourself over to the Holy Spirit and give him some time, start praying those mysteries. Now in my case, let's get it simple. What mysteries? Yeah, y'all know 1 Corinthians 14:2. I know you can't be around Bronk and not know 1 Corinthians 14:2. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, how be it, or like, this is how it be, in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Well, at that time in my life, it was a mystery to me how to live by faith. I mean, I'd heard all these other men try and explain it to me, but still, when I tried to do it, it was still a mystery to me. I couldn't make it work. Couldn't make it work, you know. Well, I started praying in those other tongues. I was driving the truck. It took me about 6 months to get convinced that Pastor Dave was telling me the truth. I checked that all. Well, let's just tell it like I've told him to his face, you know. Took about 6 months. And we started in June of 92 at his church, and it was December of 92. When I finally made this agreement with the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm convinced. Here's the deal I'm going to make with you. I'm stuck in the cab of this truck anyway, about 40 hours a week. I'm going to turn off the CB radio. I'm going to turn off the regular radio and the tape player and all of that. If I'm in the cab of this truck, I'll just make this my prayer closet and I will be praying. I'll just turn myself over to the Holy Ghost. That's what I did. That was December of 92. You might remember that. Well, that began the process. I never will forget. Truck drivers drive shifts of 10 hours on, 8 hours off. Now, do you understand what I committed to do? I was going to pray in other tongues 10 hours. How many of y'all ever made a New Year's resolution? You start it with all kinds of, yes, this is the year, you know. I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. Well, I kind of went into this with that same thing, you know. I'm going to pray in this truck, glory to God. And I started it off full of vim, vigor, and vitality. Shandai bando, Christes mandore, bandore, I'm driving down the road, honk, honk. Kiri la mandore, brando, stace, you know. And I'm doing good for about the first hour, maybe hour and a half. And I haven't heard the Holy Ghost say nothing. Okay. So I keep going. I'll be honest with you, every now, you know, until you get used to that, my mind would drift a little bit sometimes. and I'd catch myself not speaking in other tongues. You know, I'd be thinking about something else. What if you're going to start praying a lot in other tongues and you find yourself doing that, as soon as you realize that you've quit, well, just say, oops, sorry, and just start again, that's all. After a while, it'll just become second nature. Let me just tell you this. I haven't been driving trucks for over 3 years now, but still yet, if I get in a car, if I get in any kind of vehicle, when my hands touch the steering wheel, the tongues start. It's just second nature to me now, see. You're driving, you pray, you know. And that's one reason that Sue and I wanted to drive to Florida instead of fly from Tulsa. I wanted the 3 days. We wanted the 3 days just to drive and mostly pray. And besides that, Sue had never seen the southern part of the United States, so we got a double blessing. Of course, the first night we had to protect the motel we were in from tornadoes. You know, really, they were like 8 miles from us in two different directions. And there was a bar in that motel. It's right by where you check in, you know, and I'm checking in, and boy, I mean lightning and thunder and hail and wind, and these guys are in there. They got the Weather Channel on, you know, and they're going, "That's only 8 miles from here, Myrtle. You know? Give me another double, man," or, you know. And I felt like telling them, "It's okay, we're here now. Gonna be all right." And Sue and I started quoting the 91st Psalm, "No plague shall come nigh our dwelling." Yeah. That night, that motel was our dwelling. There wasn't any tornado going to come there. There's no way it's going to come there, and sure enough, it didn't. And but anyway, we enjoyed our trip down here. Well, going back to my first 10-hour shift, 2 hours goes by. 3 hours go by. I haven't heard the Holy Ghost say anything. Pastor Dave said, if I would pray in other tongues, the Holy Spirit would become my teacher. 4 hours go by. How many of y'all think I'm still going, "Cristo bandor reandiste"? No, by now it's, I know I had to get fuel at a truck stop. Now, you know, it's a regular full-blown truck stop. You know what you find there?
Yep.
Truckers. You know, and big burly guys with suspenders, you know, and kind of rough looking characters. I mean, I'm used to that, but they're not used to some guy staggering. I'll pull in, leave my truck at the fuel island. They're going to fuel it up. And I don't realize it, but I'm walking in with my coffee mug, walking towards the coffee pot in the, you know, all these truckers standing around going, "Core la bandoste, bando, re bandoste," you know. And when it dawned on me what I was doing, because they were going like this, "Let this one through. We don't know what's wrong with him. Bad coffee or something, but I wouldn't mess with him, you know. There's something wrong here." So I go over there and I get my coffee, and here we go, headed out. And it's been 4 hours. And just I don't know how many of you have developed a prayer life yet. Those of you that have, does the devil shut up while you're praying?
No.
He starts saying stuff like, "Well, you've lost it now. You've really gone over the edge, you know. Now here you see what you did? You listened to another preacher, didn't you? Got you off into this now, see? He haven't heard nothing, have you?" "No, I haven't heard nothing." But one thing about me, once I'm convinced with something, see, I don't have any quitting sense. And I was convinced I had seen it out of the Word. It says it in the Word. We'll look at some of those verses tonight, maybe. Or I know we will before these nights are over. So I started up again. So now we're into my fifth hour. Cora la bandista rebre co shindrebre te sindrebiasto. Sixth hour. Condere la basindrebiasto. Seventh hour. Have you noticed anything? Oh yes. Sore tongue. Dry throat. Condere la basindrebiasto. 8 hours. 9 hours. And I often wonder what would have happened if I'd have quit at the ninth hour. Because it wasn't until the 10th hour that first day that I ever heard anything, ever saw anything. And what happened that first time was a vision. Now, it wasn't the kind of vision, thank God, because I remember I'm driving a 70 or 80,000 pound rig through Memphis, Tennessee. So it wasn't the kind of vision where the world goes away. Thank God for that. You know, how many of you ever seen a movie, something like Gone with the Wind? And you can remember that scene where Rhett Butler says, "Frankly, Scarlett, I don't give a doggone." You know, and he's, you know, walks. See, even while I'm talking and you're looking at me, you can see that scene in your mind. Very often, I call those teaching visions because that's the way it'll come. You can be driving a truck through Memphis, but like you can remember a scene out of a movie. suddenly there's this scene playing in your mind. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you this vision because it has to do with faith. Now, remember, I've been trying to live by faith for many years, from 1980 till 1992. I hadn't been having very much success at it. Suddenly, I saw this vision. What I saw a man on the horizon, and he was standing there looking up at the sky. And up in the sky were, oh, I don't know, 8 or 9 ellipses, you know, like long circles. And on these ellipses were wonderful things written. Things like salvation, holiness, health, prosperity, joy. All wonderful things. And here's the man down below. And it would be wonderful if he could attain to those things. But he's on the earth. And those things were in the sky. And there was no way he could reach them. It'd be like trying to reach for a cloud. There's no way. And I'm just seeing this unfold in my spirit. Now, it's my first experience with the Holy Spirit, the teacher. And I'm just watching this. And I'm saying, in my mind, I'm thinking, wouldn't it be wonderful if there's some way that man could reach those circles? I mean, that's what everybody wants. Joy and peace and salvation and prosperity and health and... Man, but here's the man, he's helpless. You know, who can jump up to the sky? No one. Then suddenly I saw this vision just unfolding in front of me, and I saw these lines coming from the circles to the man. And they didn't go from the man up, they came from the circles down to him. And I saw everything that was in those circles coming to the man down those lines. And I'm going, well, whatever those lines are, that's how the man is receiving what he needs. And then all of a sudden, on every line, the word faith appeared on every one of them. And I suddenly understood how faith works. There's nothing you can do to earn God's blessings. There's no way that you can exalt yourself from our position on earth to receive anything that he has provided. All you can do is stand there and receive it free through grace by faith. Glory to God. That was the first one. Now, what I did, I remembered I had a spiral notebook with me in my briefcase. Now, I don't know. It's just me. I just always figured if God the Holy Ghost is going to be good enough to come and show me something, seems like the least I could do was have respect enough to write it down. You know? So I pulled over at the next opportunity and I got my little spiral notebook out, and I could still show it to you today. It's at home in my files. My little stick man. I'm trying to draw the vision on the horizon, circles up in the sky, lines. I drew it and then I wrote it out. And that was the beginning. 10 hours. What if I had quit after 9? What if I'd have given up? See? Thank God for endurance. Now, that was the beginning. I continue. Now, once you've got one, oh man, it's like a taste of that new wine. You've got to have another slug, you know. Oh man, now, I'm starting my next shift. My shift is about over now, so I sleep, start the next 10-hour shift. I started off even more, with more gusto than the first one. Shande ban Christos. We got it working now. I got it going my way here. Hallelujah, you know, sadala blah blah. That whole 10-hour shift, nothing. Oh, man, bummer, you know? Bummer. I thought, well, surely he knows more than one lesson, you know? I need to know more stuff, you know? Surely he knows more than one lesson. That was really good, but nothing came, see? Now, I'm going to tell you why in a minute. So I took my 8-hour break, started the next shift, and it was 5 hours into that shift before anything else ever happened. Okay? Now this time it didn't come by a vision. Visions is one way that the Holy Spirit can teach you. The next one, to me, it would have been as real as hearing Bronk's voice in the cab of that truck with me. Now, I mean, and I can tell you to this day what he said. Just out of the blue, just, I wasn't even thinking about this. In a voice, he said to me, well, it certainly was not by the law that Moses delivered the people, for the law was not yet given. Wow. Now, every time I ever think of Moses, I'd always thought connected it up with the law. But it just never dawned on me that the law had not yet been given when the people of Israel were delivered out of the hand of Pharaoh. It just had never dawned on my mind. I pulled over. I wrote those lines down, wrote those words down. Since then, he's taught me that whole episode there is a type and a shadow of Jesus Christ. Moses is a type, like a foreshadow. See, if you're an Israelite, you're a slave under Pharaoh, under hard bondage, which is a type of sin and depression and everything before you met Jesus, see? And you couldn't do anything to rescue yourself. I mean, you're just born in that condition. You're a slave. There's nothing you can do. And suddenly God sends a deliverer. In that case, it was Moses. All of the signs and all of the wonders were done by God through him. And finally, when the time came, in order for you to be delivered, the only thing you had to do was follow Moses out of there. Now see, with us, we were born into hard bondage of the devil. You're born into a world of sin. Okay, you can't save yourself, can you? Can't work for your salvation, can you? But see, God sent a deliverer. His name is Jesus Christ. He did all the work, and the only thing required of you is the same thing he said to everybody, come, follow me. Is that good stuff? Now, do you see what I'm talking about? How the Holy Spirit will become your person. I'm getting shorter. The Holy Spirit will become your personal trainer. You see how what I'm talking about? Now, he will do that for each and every. He doesn't teach me that stuff because I'm a teacher. He teaches me that because I pray. Now, see, the teaching gift, all that really is all of these things that he stored on the inside of me, those teachings like that, when it's time for me to come to speak, I turn myself over to the Holy Spirit and I just let him bring those things up in sequence, whatever he wants to deal with that night, whatever subject, and I just let him put him in sequence and I deliver it to you in a way that can be easily digested. That's the office of a teacher. But he doesn't teach me things because I'm a teacher. He teaches me things because I pray. He's no respecter of persons, and he will teach you anything that he will teach me, anything that he would teach Bronk, anything he would teach Pastor Dave. The only difference is, the only question, if he's not coming to teach you, now I'm not looking at anybody, do you pray? Well, the Holy Ghost never teaches me anything, Brother Gary. You just told me volumes about you. You know, bless your heart. You know, I'm going to try and encourage you to pray. Because he's no respecter of persons. He will come and teach you. That's what he does. That's what he does. It's what he's good at. And the thing about him, he never gets tired. He never says, I don't feel like teaching you right now. Don't bother me. I'm busy running the universe. You know, he's not like that at all. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. And if you want to let him teach you, when you set yourself to come in, and the way we say it at the prayer center, and epoxy your behind to a chair, epoxy your hiney to one of these, and say, Holy Spirit, I'm just going to spend the next hour praying those mysteries and letting you pass all these things that I need to understand through my spirit. It's just exactly as if you were the only person on earth and you had enrolled in the school of the Holy Ghost. And you sit there in his classroom, and he comes, and as far as you're concerned and he's concerned, there's nobody else on the planet but you. And you have the undivided attention of God, the Holy Ghost himself, yes, as your teacher. Is that something or what? Yes. It's the grace of God. How can we fail? We can fail by not praying. Not taking advantage of it. Oh, there's nothing like the Holy Ghost. Now I got to tell you, let me tell you this. That was the start. The next one was the vision. I could tell you that one. The reason I can't tell you all of them. We eventually got a computer, and what I would do is I would come in off the road, and I would take these out of my spiral, those teachings that I had written. And Sue would start typing them for me while I was gone the next time. She'd type them into a computer. And we put them in a systematic order where I could files where I could find them. I don't think we have... Now, that started in 1992, and for benefit of the tape, this is May of 98. There's well over 1,000 of those in that computer now. How many of you... Lock the doors. I'm going to teach you all 1,000 of them. Yeah? You see what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit is a very prolific teacher. There's lots to learn. And He never gets tired. If you want to give Him 1 hour, He'll teach you for 1 hour. If you want to give Him 4 hours, He'll teach you for 4 hours. By the way, I told you I was going to say why I didn't hear anything on that second 10-hour shift. See, one thing you need to understand about praying in other tongues, it's cumulative. It's cumulative. There is no such thing as a wasted hour praying in other tongues, or a wasted 10 minutes, or a wasted 4 hours. If you didn't hear anything during that particular stretch, all that means is you haven't prayed the entire mystery through yet. It's just like, I went to college to become an engineer. Well, because I went the first 2 hours, they didn't hand me a degree. I hadn't learned what needed to be learned yet to become an engineer, see? As I finished the courses and finally finished all of the courses, then they gave me a degree and you're a qualified engineer now. And I went and got a job with Union Carbide. Well, it's very much the same way with the School of the Holy Ghost. There's things to learn. And there's some days... Now, I made a big mistake. Nick, raise your hand. This is my friend, Nick Guida. He lives about 2 miles from my house. It's that far. And I let him talk me into something that I should never have done. He says... He really likes the teachings. See, he likes them, you know. And so he says, hey, he says, and so we're on email, and he says, hey, email me email me those lessons, see. So I started doing that in 1998. I started emailing them. Now, the problem with that, he can tell when I'm not praying. I didn't even think about that at the time. I said, oh man, I'm letting, you know, because I'm just like everybody else. If I'm not real careful, I get too busy to pray. Now, I know nobody in here has that problem. But even somebody that's experienced at it, I've been praying quite a bit for several years. And still, if you're not careful, the cares of this world and just the busyness of life, just things that happen, you know, the devil's tactics never change, you know. When Moses did come to deliver the people, the first thing the devil did, the first thing Moses says, let the people go that they may come out into the wilderness and worship their God. The very first thing the devil did, they got too much free time. Take away their straw, but they got to make the same number of bricks. Basically, translated, they have too much time. If we get them real busy, work them to pieces, they won't care anything about spending time with their God. Now, the devil's tactics have not changed to this day. And he's still keeping revival, basically, from the church over time, more than anything else, more than any single thing. Would you like to see chapter and verse for that? Okay. Go on, open your Bible to Luke 14. Hallelujah. Luke 14. Now, why is God the Holy Ghost so interested in teaching you in the first place? All right, it's just exactly like the vision that Bronx summarized real quickly. By the way, I love this church already. I've never been here before, but what a spirit of the Lord I feel in this place. You have got a pastor, glory to God, and he's got some help. I can tell he's got some help. Glory to God. But he's after the same thing I'm after. Aren't you tired of revival signs? You know, you drive down the road and it says, revival starting Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. By the way, it ends Friday night at 9. Move of the Holy Ghost will be over, you know. And you go attend one of those things and they wheel the little crippled children in and somebody gets up and talks. And when it's all said and done, they wheel the little crippled children out. And Jesus never got to heal one of them. Now, there is no way in God's earth that's what God calls a revival. No way, no way. When you have a God-given, Holy Ghost-sent revival, it's going to be just like it was when Jesus Himself walked the earth. The blind will see, the lame will walk, the deaf will hear, devils will come out, the dead will be raised. People that don't even have legs will get new ones. Yes. I'm telling you, there is nothing impossible with our God. That's the kind of revival that's coming to Immokalee. That's the kind that's coming. Hallelujah. But now understand this. If that, how many centuries has it been since we've had one of those? That being the case, doesn't it just, you know, make sense that we're going to have to do something a little differently than what everybody's been doing up to this point? You see, if we're going to go somewhere where nobody's been in our generation, we're going to have to do some things that nobody's done in our generation. Well, these are the very mysteries that the Holy Ghost begins explaining to you. That's why He's so eager to teach all of us these things that we don't understand, because, hey, Christ, if you're born again, Christ is in you. His Spirit is in you. And my Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. If He healed them all then, He'll heal them all now. And He's in you. The Bible says that if you don't have the Spirit of Christ in you, you're none of His. So He's in there. How many of you think the problem's on His end? I don't think so. You know? So if we were to ask Him, Jesus, and I used this example this morning, but we're just kind of picking up where we left off. If Jesus Himself in His glorified body walked through that wall right there, and if we asked Him, Jesus, how come? How come we don't have raging revival right now already in Immokalee? Now, He's not going to give you religious answers like most religions would. Well, it's just not the timing of the Lord. Bunk. The timing of the Lord for revival is now. Always. The time for you to get your healing is now. Always. The time for you to receive your prosperity is now. Always. My Bible says now faith is. So if we did it, so He's not going to give us answers like that. We're going to say, why don't we have raging revival in Immokalee? He's going to give us the same answer that He gave His disciples when they asked Him, why couldn't we cast the devil out of that lunatic boy? He's going to not mince words with you. In love, He's just going to tell you, because of your unbelief. Now let's say it a little differently. There's a whole lot of stuff you don't understand. There's a whole lot of stuff that you think that's wrong. See, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And He can only operate by truth. So anything in us that's not truth, that's got to change. And I don't care if you believe it this way, and your daddy believed it this way, and your granddaddy believed it this way, the fact that they all believed it that way, and you're believing it that way, is why there is no revival. And I don't care how precious. I mean, some of these sacred cows that have to get kicked over now, you may, I don't want to let go of that. I've had that from my youth, you know. And, well, it's time for it to go. He says, He says, I'm the vine, and my Father's the husbandman. And any branch that's not producing, you know what the Father does? He cuts it off. So we've got if I'm a tree or a vine, and I've got this dead limb, something I believe, but that thing will never, ever produce revival. It's got to go. It's just got to go. I don't care if I've believed it ever since I can remember. It's got to go. We have to go with the truth if we're ever going to see revival. Well, that's why the Holy Ghost is so interested in teaching, you see. All right, now let's watch this. What we're really talking about, let's talk about exaltation for a minute. Exaltation. Now, I want you to get real clear what I mean by that. When I started praying in those trucks, I was more valuable as a truck driver than I was as a preacher. Why? I was stupid. Well, I didn't know anything. What I did know was mostly wrong. I was raised in a denominational church. Is there anything wrong with that, Brother Gary? Oh, no. They just taught me things like miracles are not for today. Tongues has passed away. In fact, they even taught, where I went, tongues is of the devil. And we don't need healing today because we have doctors. Oh, that's nothing wrong. I mean, they put dead limbs on me, hanging off me like bats. I mean, I got dead stuff here, you know. You think the Holy Ghost is going to put me in is going to put me in a pulpit to repeat junk like that? See, to repeat junk like that? No. He says, if you'll pray though, I'll start explaining stuff to you, and you can start letting a lot of that stuff go. And eventually, the reason He will exalt you, promote you to a higher job in the kingdom, you become more valuable to Him than you are driving trucks. You see what I'm saying? Or whatever it is you're doing. He might, now not everybody's called to preach. That happened to be my call. Some of you are, see, the Bible says, how shall they preach? How shall they hear without a preacher? But how shall they preach lest they be sent? You got preachers, you got senders. Senders are the ones that God calls to make big money. They're called gospel entrepreneurs. Nick's one of them. I don't think God's called him to preach. God's called that man to make money, to send preachers. To send like Pastor Dave. Pastor Dave's got a vision for Japan. Years ago, God showed him a vision that he's going to have a major part in the revival. Somebody, it's not Pastor Dave's job to go make the money. Pastor Dave is supposed to steward his gift. He's supposed to fast and pray and meditate the word so that when he does stand on the shore of Japan, he's there with the anointing to deliver the gospel with power. Right? He's not supposed to be out making the money to get there. That's Nick's job. Or whoever it is that God calls. And if you don't think God does that, you need to read about Joseph. You need to read about King David. See, David went out and conquered the enemies of God to bring in the money for Solomon to build the temple. Now, the gospel entrepreneurs are the Davids. They go out and they conquer mammon. But they've been purged from the love of money enough that they bring the bulk of it in and they hand it to a Solomon. Because the Solomons today are not building temples made out of stone. They're building temples made out of human beings. Amen? So that's a calling. And if you'll pray, see right now, whatever job you're on, and I'm just saying, you know, maybe you're working, you know, minimum wage job. Well, if you'll start praying, you can get promoted. And I mean promoted by God, if that's your call. You see what I'm saying? So that's what I mean by exaltation. Now let's watch how you get it. Alright? Luke 14, we'll start right here in verse 7. And he put forth a parable to those who were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room. Modern day equivalent. Modern day equivalent. If we're talking about exaltation, by God. See, I always say preachers are supposed to be called and sent. Very, very many of them just got up and went. They chose the highest place themselves. You see what I'm saying? They chose to take the highest place. God never sent them. He never called them. They called themselves. Now that's choosing the highest room yourself. That's not the way to get ahead in the kingdom of God. We'll see how to get ahead. Now watch this. When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him, and he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. He doesn't have to exalt himself. He'll be exalted. Now watch this. I'm telling you right now, we'll just skip over it. It says, I know Bronk teaches you the basics anyway. I mean, more than the basics. I know you all are pretty well versed in prayer is what I'm saying. I'll just tell you, the lowest room in the kingdom, it's the prayer closet. There's no glory in there. I mean, nobody applauds when you go in. There's no basket of fruit waiting for you when you come out. You know? I mean, you know, it's not fun. It's not pleasant. Your flesh hates it, by the way. Your flesh hates that. You know why? It knows it's dying there. It knows it's losing its control. Any animal, anything, the primary instinct in it, the number one thing in it, is survival. The reason your flesh hates prayer, it's trying to survive. In the sense, it wants to keep being God to you. It wants to control you like it's been controlling you however old you are now. You know, where one day you feel, you know, everything's going right, bless God. Your emotions, you feel saved that day. Glory to God. I'll pass out some tracts today. Hallelujah. You know, I'm going to tell everybody about Jesus. Now, in the next day, for no apparent reason. Or maybe some stuff happened, you know. The washing machine broke. You went out to, you know, there's a flat on the car. You know, your spouse talked ugly to you. And for some reason, you know, you woke up that day and your head's sore, you know. And all of a sudden, you know, it's just, you don't even know if you're saved or not. You know, it's just, oh, you know. What? That's being ruled by emotions. That's the flesh nature, see. And if you're like that, and you can be defeated by a flat tire or a broken washing machine or somebody speaking ugly to you, you think God's going to send you against the strong man in Japan?
No way.
Honey, you got some exalting to get done. You're going to have to get up past that emotional flesh level. Start operating out of your spirit, man, because it's saved all the time. It's saved all the time, see. And eventually it'll rise up and give you dominion over all that emotional stuff. Hey, I've been judged at this point by experts. Old Rhino Hyde here. Now, I like to be liked as much as anybody else. But what you say to me doesn't affect me at all. It really doesn't. I mean, I don't like it. If you talk ugly to me, it won't change my message. It won't change anything I do. Am I exalting myself? Uh-uh. He exalted me here. I used to be just as easily hurt and easily offended and easily wounded as anybody else. But by spending time with Him, He's brought my spirit up above that kind of stuff. Now, I'm not saying my old man's completely dead now, but he's crippled up pretty bad. He only gets a couple of steps now before I get him back, you know. You see what I'm saying? I'm not saying he's completely dead, but he's crippled. Got him crippled up pretty good. Okay, so can you see that Jesus is talking about being exalted? Now see, I love that line that says, friend, go up higher. Go up higher. Now watch. See, he's talking like this brother right here. He says he's going to take the lowest room. He says, well, I want to, whatever my call is in the kingdom, I want to be equipped. I want to be exalted by God. I don't want to promote myself. I want God to do it. So he just sets himself to about 4 hours a day praying in other tongues. And he's probably got a full-time job. He's got a lovely family here. But he has to cut out all that good stuff. You know, maybe an hour of TV, and I don't know you at all. I'm just making this up. But, you know, he says, I got to start somewhere. Did I hit a nerve? Never sit near the front at my meetings, you know. He says, he makes that choice. He says, I gotta start somewhere. So he turns the TV off, you know. He says, well, I can squeeze 1 hour there. Oh, I could get up an hour early in the morning. Let's see, that's two. I could pray on the way to work, driving to work, and I could pray on the way back. That'd be almost another hour. You see, but he's doing something to get in that lowest room. Start praying, letting the Holy Ghost start working in him, see? Now, just like he did with me, which I'll finish up that part of the testimony in a minute, if he'll continue doing that and show respect to the Holy Spirit, some way or another, I don't care whether you do it with a little, I also carry a little mini cassette recorder. You can buy them for about $30 at Walmart. Some way record what the Holy Ghost tells you. Write it down. Keep it. You're going to need it. He's not teaching you that for no reason. You're going to need it. Okay? And he does that. And he does that. And he does that. And he stays diligent. And his flesh fights him. I don't want to pray today. You're going to go pray anyway. I don't want to. I'll die in there. I hate that closet. He says, I know. That's why I'm taking you. Come on in here. You know? Now, one of these days, if he'll keep that up, see, he's going to be learning and he's going to be changing. And his emotions are not going to rule him like they used to. And he can't be defeated at the same level of pressure he used to be defeated at. And all of a sudden, one day, Jesus, by the Spirit, comes and says, friend, come up higher. I got work for you to do. I've been waiting for you to turn yourself over to the Holy Ghost where He could put some sense in you. Now, that's exaltation when Jesus shows up. Now, I don't mean He has to appear, but I mean, when He does it, you'll know it. He'll say, friend, come up higher. Now, before we go on here, let me just tell you what happened. I prayed like that. And my job was about like your job. It was roughly 40 hours a week, maybe, 45, 38. But roughly 40 hours a week. And we probably had 400 or 500 of those lessons in that computer. And besides that, enough relationship and fellowship with the Holy Spirit that I couldn't be run off by religion. I knew what I knew. See, that's the unique thing about the Holy Ghost. When He teaches it to you, because you're going to, I'm telling you, anytime you start really teaching the truth of the gospel, you're going to find opposition. Mainly from religious folks. Quiet in here. You're going to find opposition from, did Jesus? Who was it really put Him on the cross? It was the religious bunch. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious experts of the day that would not have it. We will not have this man rule over us. And they basically stirred up the people to do it, see. Well, if religion went after Jesus, it's coming after you, see. But that's the thing about the Holy Spirit. The way He teaches it to you, it's so personal with you. They can't beat it out of you with rifle butts. You know what you know. I mean, you know it like you know your right arm or you know your own face. You know what you know. Nobody, it would be like an Aborigine who's never seen an airplane. I'll just pick that, for a wilderness type thing. That's maybe never seen an airplane trying to convince me, who has flown in airplanes for years, that there is no such thing as an airplane. How ridiculous is that? You think I'm going to believe that guy that there's no such thing as an airplane when I've flown in them for years? When the Holy Ghost teaches you stuff, it's exactly like that. Religion can come and they can give you all their theories and all of their verses and all of their crap. Excuse me. That's what it is. It's worse than that, but I'm being nice. And they can give you all that and it doesn't faze you one little bit. You've flown in the airplane, man. You've been with the Holy Ghost. You got it from God. You didn't get it from man. And you know what you know. See? And now when you start getting like that, He's going to come to you. He's going to say, friend, I got work for you. You're more valuable to me now. Now let's just say, for example, I'll be nice to him now. Let's say he did have that call to be the gospel entrepreneur. And whatever he's doing right now, making a living, all of a sudden Jesus says, I want to bring you up higher because I want you to be one of those that sends Pastor Dave to Japan. Okay? He says, you and I are going to start sitting down together and I'm going to start giving you ideas that no man has ever had before. And the good thing about it, these ideas will always bless people. They're going to be good ideas. Nothing crooked, nothing shady, and the end result will be good for people. But it's going to make you very, very wealthy. But see, he's prayed enough of those mysteries and allowed the Holy Ghost to change his heart enough to where money doesn't rule him either. Now, let me tell you something. Any reservoir, there's ditches that feed water into the reservoir. Now, their main job is to feed the reservoir. Isn't that right? Have you ever noticed the ditches get well watered? See? Now, he may give away 90% of his income once God really exalts him to that level. But the 10% he has left will probably be many times over whatever you're making now. That's what I'm saying. That's God. God's the God of increase, not decrease. He is El Shaddai, not El Cheapo. Got it? Well, God called me full time after that. Okay, now I could go on with that, but mainly we want to get with the exaltation. And I have instructions. If I heard him right, we're going to try and have you out of here by 9, because I know you got to work tomorrow. The Lord understands that too. And that way maybe you'll come back tomorrow. Say, hallelujah. Mainly come back if you get blessed. If you get blessed. Hallelujah. Alright, verse 11 again, Luke 14:11, because we still haven't got down to the crux of it. What we're trying to show is why there has not been revival. Even with people that understand prayer. Okay, now watch. Verse 11, whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Then said he also to him that bade him, now when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, now watch this. Look who Jesus has on his mind. What kind of revival are we going to have? Watch this now. Call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. Now, what kind of supper is he talking about here? He's saying there's some kind of supper where you could bring and bless the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. Just so you know, he's fixing to give us a story here, another parable. See, God has prepared a great supper, God the Father. On the table of that, on that supper table, there is bread. Jesus is the bread of life. See, what we're called to do is come to that table ourselves first. I mean, if you're lost, you need to eat the bread. If you're sick, you need to eat the bread. If you're poor, you need to eat the bread. That's what you're doing when you're coming to spend that time with the Holy Ghost. He is literally feeding everything into you that Jesus is, so you can understand it and receive your healing, receive your prosperity, receive your joy, and all of that kind of thing. But the end result is not for just for you to be fed. See, the end result is for you to be able to serve the bread from the table to the poor, to the maimed, to the lame, and to the blind. That's what revival is all about. God's calling us to come in, take the lowest place, feed on that bread ourselves, until we become servants who can serve that bread to those that need it. Can you see that? That's what he's talking about. Well, okay, let's keep reading here. Now, verse 14, And thou shalt be blessed, for they can't recompense thee. Now, think about it. Somebody brought their blind daughter, born that way from birth, in here. And when they left, they had a seeing daughter. How are they going to pay you for that? They can't. There's not enough money in the world, is it? But you know who will pay you? Thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Let me quickly give you one of those 1,000 lessons. One day the Holy Ghost said to me, and really it was the voice of Jesus this time. By the way, you'll get to where you can distinguish between who's talking. The Father, the Lord Jesus, or the Holy Spirit. You'll get to where you can discern which one it is. This day it was the Lord Jesus. And he said to me this. He says, would you like to understand the reward system of heaven? Yes, I would. He says, really? He says, what the rewards are. He says, here's the grace of the Father. He said, it's me and my anointing doing the work through you. He says, but if you will come to the place where I can work through you, then the reward is this. When you get to heaven, God rewards you for the work I did as though you did it yourself. Isn't that something? Now, it's Christ in us doing the work. There's no doubt. He gets all the glory. But if we can ever become the kind of vessels where He can do that, the reward system in heaven is you get rewarded like you did it. And that's what he's talking about right here. You'll be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Wouldn't that be something? Now we're coming to the meat of it here. What's stopping revival? Watch this. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Now stop for a minute. Keep it in mind what he's really talking about here. God the Father has prepared a great supper table for any of his children who will come. On that table is Jesus, the bread of life. And what we're supposed to do is come and dine. Come and dine and partake of that bread so that we can become servers of that bread to the halt, the lame, the poor, and so forth. Got that? Keep that in mind. Now watch. So you're invited. God's saying, come, everything's ready. You're saved. You've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. You can speak with other tongues. The teacher is made available. It's all ready. Come. Now watch. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, well, I've bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I've got to go prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, well, I married a wife, therefore I can't come. She's got me mowing the lawn, painting the house, and doing all that stuff. I can't come, you know. Now let's put it in plain English. All of these people could not partake of the bread for one reason. They were too busy. Time. It's time that's keeping revival from Immokalee. Time in the prayer closet. Time meditating the word. Time calling in the lost. And the devil is good at what he does. And if you continue with giving your attention to worldly things, even though they're legitimate. Now get this. This is why in all of 2,000 years since the cross, since the apostles anyway, the first ones, you can count on about 2 hands the men or women who have actually produced revival in this earth. I'm talking about your Catherine Kuhlmans, your Finneys, your Whitfields. The best one we have today would be Benny Hinn, would be the one I would say. Okay? But why so few? Everybody's too busy. Everybody. Everybody has a family. Everybody has a job. You think that those men were any different than you? It was harder to make a living then than it is now. They're too busy to go spend time with the Holy Ghost. I can't help but think of Benny Hinn. In all of America today, I think Benny Hinn's ministry is the closest thing that I can see to the ministry of Jesus when it comes to healing in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I mean, if I had a terminal disease, you can bet your booties I'm going to go to one of his meetings. I'd go to a bunch of them. You understand me? But Benny, and that's the best we have in America today. Thank God. I mean, you know, there's other healings that happen, but I mean, if I was going to pick one that came the closest, it would be his. Now, how many of you have heard Benny out of his own mouth on TV, though? I've heard him many times say, the first question he's going to ask the Lord when he sees him is, Jesus, why didn't they all get healed? Because he knows if Jesus himself in the flesh was running those meetings, they would. You read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you read it over and over, and he healed them all. And he healed them all. And he healed them all over and over and over again. So here we've got Benny Hinn, we've got one. In a nation of 200 million plus, one out of 200 million, that is even approaching the level of ministry of what Jesus really wants to do. And I think, now what is it about Benny Hinn? How many of y'all ever read his book, Good Morning, Holy Spirit? Let me see some hands, please. For those of you that haven't read it, when Benny got saved, his parents were not. Let me just say that, rather than mention what they were. But they weren't saved. They ostracized him. He wasn't even allowed to come down and eat with the family. He basically had to stay in his room with no one to talk to but the Holy Ghost for 2 years. And look at the fruit of that time today. You see it? Can you see it? You think there might be a connection here? He didn't get to go and do all the things that his brothers were doing. You know, get involved in sports and get involved in all these other things. And I don't know what all. No, 2 years. Nobody to talk to but the Holy Ghost. And look at the ministry today. It's time, people. It's time. We get too busy. And notice, all of these are legitimate things. Verse 18. They all began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I've bought a piece of ground that I must needs go and see it. Well, that's a legitimate thing, isn't it? All right, how about this one? Well, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I need to go prove them. That's a legitimate thing. The guy's not off into deep sin. He didn't say, I'm going down to the bar to get drunk. I don't want to pray. No, that's a legitimate thing. And the other one got married. Well, how many of you know you get busy when you get married, you know? There's, on both sides, there's a lot of things to do. The thing of it is, it doesn't make any difference what it is. If you wind up your whole life, well, I'm going to pray next week. I am going to get into prayer, Pastor Brock. I really am. I just got these things I have to do this week. Next week, I'm going to get into prayer, you know. And then next week gets real busy. Something happens you didn't expect to happen. And you say, well, really, Pastor Brock, really. Now, next week, I'm going to get into prayer. And week passes into week, which passes into month, which passes into year, and which passes into years. And in someday, you yourself are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And He's going to ask you a question. Now the judgment seat of Christ for believers is a good place. When you leave there, He's going to wipe away every tear. But in the meantime, there's going to be some things that are hard. Because He's going to ask you a question. Why didn't you ever fulfill the call that I called you to in the earth? Now, didn't I send my Holy Spirit to teach you everything about your call? Didn't you own a Bible? In fact, if my records are right, you had several Bibles in your house. And you had my Holy Spirit as your personal trainer. Now, why was it again that you never was able to fulfill your call in the earth? What was that? Well, Lord, I bought a piece of ground. And I was too busy. I had to go take care of it. And I bought a new car. And it kept going flat on me. And I had to work on it all the time. And it's my wife. That's what it is. It's my wife, Lord. It's this woman you gave me. Does that sound familiar? He didn't buy it the first time. He isn't going to buy it this time. You understand what I'm saying? He ain't going to buy that. No. How many of y'all want to stand there and give Him excuses like that? I have a plaque, or it's a little poster I made on my computer, and I should have brought one, and we could have Xeroxed it, but I actually got it from Tim Stemple, which is Dave's associate, and it says this. It's a hard saying. You ready? Whatever took you out of prayer last week is what the devil looks like in your life. Even if it was good things, like your ministry, your job, your hobbies, your children, your grandchildren. So what's he saying? I got three grandchildren. My grandchildren are the devil? No. But if what I did with them last week cut out my prayer time, that's a tool of the devil. It's a tactic in a while. It's what he's been using for almost 2,000 years to keep revival out of the land. And that's why we only have a handful in history. They all had jobs. They all had families. They all only had 24 hours every day. But somebody somewhere said, I must have God or perish. I must have revival. I must see God. I must see the works of Him that gave His life for me. Job or no job. Wear a gunny sack, sleep under a bridge. I am going to seek my God until He pours revival out upon my land. That's what it takes. That's why we don't see it. But that's why we will see it here. Amen. Amen. Have you got it? Now, I want to show you something. I don't want to hurt you, really. But it's in your Bible already. Let's continue reading. I want you to see the Lord's attitude. I guess what I'm trying to say is this. I mean, the Lord loves you whether you pray or not. I'm not trying to put condemnation on you. But if you think He's going to make an exception in your case and send revival without that time with the Holy Ghost, let's see what the Word says about that. You ready? Let's continue on. Let's pick it up at verse 20 with that guy that was trying to, it's that woman you gave me, you know. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city. Now notice who he still has on his mind. And bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt. And the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, well, then go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Now here it is. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. If you never find the time to spend with the Holy Ghost, you're never going to taste the bread of the anointing. You're never going to be exalted in the kingdom. There is no plan B. You've got to have the Holy Ghost come and teach you, equip you, anoint you. And not, I'm talking individually, but when you have a group like this, it's the same thing collectively. See, not everybody in here is, it's a many-membered body, Paul said. It's one body, it's the body of Christ, but it's made up of many parts. This brother might here be the one that's bringing in the money. This girl right here, she may have the gift of healings in her, see? She may have the, so one is given the gifts of healings. This lady right over here, she just seems to flow in the word of wisdom. Somebody asked Oral Roberts one time, he says, what's the most important of the gifts? He said, the most important one is the one you need at the time. Right. Amen. See? This brother here, he sees, he has discerning of spirits. He literally sees angels. See, most people think that, you know, what they call the gift of discernment, there is no such thing as that in the Bible. It's called discerning of spirits. That means you see them. You see angels and you see devils in the spirit. Well, it's not hard to know what the problem is if the guy's got a big old 40-pound devil hanging off his back and this guy sees it. So he calls this one over here that knows how to cast out devils. That seems to be his gift. And he says, do you know that that guy's got a 40-pound devil hanging off his back? And he says, he does. Come over here and he casts him out. There's still, okay, so that devil leaves, but there's damage done in the body. We bring that sister over. She has the gifts of healing. Lays her hands on him. The one's restored. And on it goes. But see, when the whole body comes together, you have all the gifts in manifestation. Well, for that to happen, see, the devil's number one tool is divide and conquer. And, man, if you think he's going to leave you alone and just let you come in and pray and waltz into the power of God and be able to just destroy the works of the devil, you know, and he's just going to leave you alone because he just kind of likes you. The devil's just going to leave you alone and let you pray. And every day you're going to feel like praying. He's not ever going to mess with your emotions, you know. And nothing's going to go wrong with your car. And your husband or wife's going to be real nice to you all the time. You better think again. And all of a sudden one day, I can just tell you now, those of you that set your feet on this path of prayer, how many of y'all love Pastor Bronk?
Yes.
I'm warning. I'm just giving you a prophetic word. This is not guess. I am not guessing, I am not maybe so, I am not if so. Many of you, if you really set yourself to pray, one day, for no apparent reason, you'll wake up and everything in you will say, there's just something wrong with this church. That Pastor Bronk, I'm not sure about him. Maybe we need to go visit somewhere else. Listen, when that happens, that is a specific spirit. That brother, which one? This one here could see that devil. If he had discerning of spirits, that I'm telling you, it is a literal devil that is assigned from the pit of hell to come and start whispering that kind of stuff in your ear. And you can pick it up in the spirit. And suddenly, suspicion starts. And if you don't watch it, gossip starts. And if you don't watch that, pretty soon you're biting and devouring one another. And pretty soon you've got another church split. And the devils can go report back to the ruler of darkness over Immokalee. We put out revival again. Be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Remember, if you ever wake up feeling like that, that Gary Carpenter guy said, someday I'd wake up and just feel like leaving this church. And say, that's a devil! Rebuke it and get your hiney back in the chair and pray. Yes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That verse 34 scares me. 24 scares me. I don't want God to say about Gary Carpenter, he'll never taste of that bread. I don't want him to say that. I don't want him to say, he'll never taste of the anointing. He'll never walk in power. I don't want to hear that, do you? I don't want to hear that. He has bidden every blessed one of us to come to the table. And you're no different from everybody else. Everybody's too busy. But if you're going to be one of them, here and there, grab you 15 minutes, pull away an hour, grab another 30 minutes somewhere else. You've got to start somewhere.
Yes.
And I'll tell you one other thing that will help. Your major events in life, you plan, don't you? If you have a bad toothache, now I don't know how it is around here in Tulsa, it seems like we have way less dentists than we have toothaches. Because if you call and you're hurting, I mean, it's still going to be a week to 2 weeks before you can get in. Now, if you're hurting and you get in a doctor's appointment for 10 a.m. next Thursday, you're going to rearrange everything in your life. You're not going. I mean, you're hurting. You're not going to miss that appointment. You've planned it. You know what time you're going to be there, and everything else has to fit around that. All right, now. You have an opportunity to set up an appointment schedule with God the Holy Ghost. If you'll spend that appointment time with Him, He'll start straightening everything out in your life, equipping you for your call, anointing you for power so that one day it might be your hand on that little blind child. And the first face it ever sees could be yours. Now, wouldn't that be something? But most people have good intentions. They'll set an appointment and change their whole schedule for a dentist appointment. But they never even think about planning and setting a time to meet with the Holy Ghost. Now, that was a key for me that helped me stay in prayer once I came out of the trucks. You know what God told me when He took me out of the trucks? He says, I want you to make me a plan, a written plan of how you're going to continue praying 40 hours a week. Because if you're not going to do that, the kingdom of God would be better for me to leave you in the trucks. Because at least there you'll pray. And I'm going, oh boy, Sue's my witness. I made three plans. Because I didn't know exactly what was going to happen. I didn't know whether I was going to be working some kind of a job, like from 9 to 5, so I had that planned. I blocked out 9 to 5, that's my work day. And I blocked out Sunday morning, I knew he was going to church. And I blocked out Wednesday night, I knew he was going to church. And anything like that, I would block that out. And then I blocked out to my sleep time. And then, with what's left, I planned when I would be praying so that I could get my 40 hours in. Okay? That will work for you. And I made three plans like that because I didn't know really what He was going to call me to do. I printed them out in color on a computer. I put them I used to work for Union Carbide as an engineer. When you are going to present a proposal to the plant manager, you do it neatly, you put it in print, use color if you can, and you put it in a nice binder for presentation. Now, if I would do that for a plant manager at Union Carbide, how much more would I do that for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? And I printed them out. They're beautiful. They're well done. Any businessman would be proud to receive it. Put them in a nice cover, and I offered them in my prayer time before the Lord. And I just received the witness on the inside, which one He wanted. And I've been operating on that until He changed it on me. Well, you do have a living Lord, you know. What He tells you this week may be one thing. You may operate in that for a season. He'll come back and He'll give you different instructions later. He came and reduced your prayer time, didn't He, Brother Gary? Didn't He? No. Last year after the March conference. See, my prayer schedule was basically 5 hours a day, which is 35 hours a week. And then we have certain prayer times at the church. So by going to those, then that would make up my 40, see. And that went on for quite a while. But then after the conference, I won 8 hours a day. I almost fell for it. I almost said, well, I mean, I didn't do it for a while. You know why? I was too busy with ministry. Now when the Lord, who is Lord? This is a Lord check. Who's Lord?
Jesus.
little louder for the tape. Who's Lord?
Jesus.
Jesus. Now, when He comes, it took me a... Yes, ma'am. when He comes and He says... When the Lord comes and He says, Gary, I want 8 hours a day now. Do you think it's going to work for me to stand there and say, I can't do that because I'm too busy with this ministry? Now, if you start going down that vein, it quits being the Lord's ministry and it starts becoming yours. And you've started your path out of God now. You'll wind up on the junk heap of all the other ministers out there too. Okay? Now, have you got it that it's time? What I'm suggesting to you, see, I already... Now, this week is different because we're traveling, we're down here, and I can't do my normal routine. But when we get back to Tulsa, I don't have to try and figure out Monday when I'm going to pray. I know when I'm going to pray. I know when I'm going to start. I know when I'm going to stop. I know that for Tuesday, and I know it for Wednesday. And you know what? You can't reach me during that prayer time. I used to make that mistake. See, I was too accessible. I have an ugly building, isn't it, Nick? This is an ugly building. It was abandoned for like 12 years. It's where we used to run our construction business. There's no phone there. There's no TV there. I do take my laptop so I can type the things He shows me. There's no running water there. A friend of mine asked me, he said, you come to visit and see it. He says, where do you use the bathroom? And there's woods out behind the building. And I said, anywhere you want to. Well, why do you go there? Don't you have a nice house with air conditioning? Yeah. Yeah, there's too many distractions there. Telephone calls. Things that happen, see. And if you're really going to get serious about this, you're going to have you... That's why Jesus talks about a prayer closet. Somewhere where you can shut yourself alone. But I'm suggesting you find a place like that. Now, listen, if all you have, remember the way it started, I just gave Him what I had. What did I have? My driving time in the trucks. You start there. Don't get me wrong. You start praying on your way to work or some, you know, women, washing dishes, praying in tongues. It'll work. It'll give you a start. But as you grow, what I'm saying, that be thinking now that eventually you'll have a prayer closet, some place that is your own. And then I'm suggesting to you, that you take a sheet of paper, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and you start blocking out times. Let's see now, we go to church Sunday morning here. I don't know what other nights, but you got other minutes. Now, by the way, this is just my first close. Okay? No, really, we'll be done in about 2 minutes. Now, I'm just going to pick this name because everyone equates it with wealth. John Rockefeller. If John Rockefeller come into this room tonight, and he says, who haven't I picked on? I haven't picked on this lady. She's real nice. And he looked at all of you and he said, no. He says, just something about you that I like. Tell you what, he says, everyone knows I know how to make money. If you'll be at, if you can come to my office tomorrow at 10 a.m. and stay until noon, I am going to start and do that every day. I am going to just start sitting down personally with you and I'll teach you how to get rich. And it won't be just a short time. You'll be a multi-millionaire. Do you think you might make that meeting? Do you think there's anything that would keep you from being there? No, there wouldn't be anything that kept you from being there. But see, the problem is we understand that motivation when it comes to money. Now, what if you were the little blind child? Boy, you'd be going, I wish somebody would make an appointment with the Holy Ghost. I would like to see. I'd like to get out of this wheelchair. I see praying in tongues takes out the love of money. Puts the love of God in you. So that your motivation, now you'll go meet with the Holy Ghost for the blind child. Like in the old days you would have met with Rockefeller for the money. Please, start setting appointments with the Holy Ghost. If you don't, you're going to be too busy tomorrow like you were too busy today. You're going to be too busy next week. Like you were too busy this week. And days go into weeks, go into months, go into years. And in some day, you're going to have to stand and give an account. Did you get anything out of that?
Glory.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.